It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen and the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
NHL season, baby. We are days away from the Minnesota Wild season opener in Cali and days away from the annual Dynamites fundraising event to make hockey accessible to Minnesota's inner city youth. Program Executive Director Scott Harmon joins to share how Dynamites is building character people through hockey. As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, presented by Soda Stick, brought to you by Jim Beam, Better Edge, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. This is Season 3, Episode 94. New Bardown Beauties hats, plus all of your favorite Minnesota merch can be found at sodastick.com. Snag 15% off all purchases with code BARDOWNBEAUTIES, BARDOWNBEAUTS, at checkout. That's sodastick.com. At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting Let's Play Hockey prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. We're back. Episode 94. I'm Jesse Pierce. She's Alexis Pearson. And producer Fred. Fred V in the house. Again, not fired. I was almost fired this week. It's been kind of a mess of a week. So you're welcome for coming together to do this episode, guys.
Honestly, of all the weeks that we have like had a chaotic scheduling crisis or whatever, somehow it's a miracle that all three of us are on this record at this time because it was hectic.
Kids are puking. Yeah. We had hockey practice. Diarrhea. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah. I was in Texas.
Yes.
Wait, what? Your pets' heads are falling off?
If you don't
off?
Get that reference, Fred, I'm going to kick you out of this Zoom.
You're fired again.
Just kick me. Sorry.
Dumb and dumber. All right. That's enough. Anyway, we got lots of hockey to talk about. Let's start with some sour news. I'm sorry, guys, to kick things off. Matt Boldy, we are recording this on a Friday, as always, injured in Thursday's preseason game in St. Paul. As the Friday Dean Evson's update was that he was getting an MRI sometime this afternoon. Either way, not looking good. Dean reiterated that today. He had said that Thursday night following the game. Kevin Fiala, ironically, was the player that seemed to have kind of injured him. Boldy's leg got caught up against the boards as Fiala was finishing a check there. Boldy had a great camp, and Dean Evson even said that. So you hate to see this. Alexis, how long do you think he might be out, and how detrimental is that going to be to filling that final kind of forward spot that the Wild are looking to fill?
Well, hard to say how long he's going to be out before knowing exactly what the injury is. Those lower body injuries can be tricky, though. They are much harder to play through or heal from quickly. So that worries me, first of all. Second of all, it's never a good feeling when the coach comes in a post-game press conference and doesn't necessarily have an update, but says it doesn't look good. That's like the last thing that you want to hear. So definitely not fun to see that happen last night. Still not have an update, know exactly what's going on, but knowing it's not good. Obviously, we don't know exactly what the final roster is going to look like heading into the season, but it looked like Matt Boldy was making a strong push to be a part of that opening night roster. And I think in a lot of people's eyes was starting to get a jump over Marco Rossi, who a lot of people were hoping if there was only going to be one of those guys who makes it, that it would be him. So the fact that he's injured now provides an opportunity for other people possibly, which that's always a silver lining with something like this. But it is really, really unfortunate because he is one of the most excited players that people or one of the players that people are most excited about to watch this upcoming season. And so hopefully whatever it is nothing too long term. But either way, it doesn't sound like he'd probably be ready to go for the beginning of the season.
Well, one of the things that we do know, Alexis just rattled off quite a few of the unknowns, is that the Minnesota Wild will have a former Gopher on their squad. Again, the third one, Rem Pitlick, comes in and ironically eats up that forward position. There were two heading into camp. Now it looks like he'll eat up one because he was picked up off of waivers from Nashville. Freddie Gaudreau has a chemistry with him. Dean Evason obviously knows those Nashville guys. Alexis, but do you think it's, I hate to say fair, right? Because life isn't fair and I really don't care half the time, but do you think it is fair? He was picked up so late. He had missed so much of the season. I mean, anybody who watched the Gophers know what he's capable of. His dad, Lance Pitlick, an NHLer as well. But does it almost seem unfair when you had so many young guys stepping up, making a play for that spot, and then one is just taken by another guy who comes in out of nowhere?
I mean, a little bit. Yeah. And I'm glad you asked this question because it was floating around on social media and among the hockey community of like, oh, interesting addition to the team at this point in the season, you know, preseason, I should say, and throwing him on there. And what does that mean for all these young guys that have been working hard to try to get one of those roster spots? But I will say this. If they, you know, picked him up and they find him to be an important part of this team or they can do something with him, I trust the management to make the right decision. I've had like more faith and trust in Minnesota Wild management in the last couple of years than I have had in my entire lifetime. So if they did it for a good reason. That either means that some of these young guys maybe aren't ready for that yet, or they think Rem Pitlick is just a better version of some of those young guys that they have who have already been on the team here. So I'm sure there's a good reason for it, but it is a little interesting knowing that there's a lot of young talent that we've seen in the preseason already. And even leading up to the preseason, we knew it would be coming to say, well, actually we're going to grab someone else from a different team and throw them on. So good luck to you guys. It is a little interesting. I'm not going to question it too much. I'm sure they know what they're doing.
Producer, I mean, Fred.
Does it make sense that he's the guy that would be doing the fourth line minutes as opposed to like giving Rossi and those guys like good solid time of like number one power play unit first line down in Iowa so they have good consistent minutes? Because they're not going to be here. I, you know, if young talent, I'd rather have really, really good hockey minutes.
Right. I mean, well, and currently he's on the third line, actually. So they're even putting him up with Freddie Gaudreau and Kevin Fiala. So, I mean, they've really vested interest in him and saying, hey, we think that you're capable of this. And, you know, he came in and I guess told Bill Guerin, hockey vision is my strongest point. And this year, they're really hoping the Wild to be even faster than they were last year. And Pitlick can wheel. So he's got that to bring to the team. But you're absolutely right, Fred. I mean, you want these players to develop. Bill Guerin has emphasized that time and time again, right? Like, it's not going to do Marco Rossi any good to be sitting on the bench the majority of the game when he could be top line minutes down in Iowa. So, I mean, there's that to be considered. But as Alexa said too, and in Billy G we trust. That should be our next soda stick t-shirt. Yeah. Foligno's t-shirt's coming soon. Then we'll do in Billy we trust. I mean, I'm willing to bet so much on Bill Guerin. And you know where I would do that? I would do that on betteredge.com. BETTORS.
They got a bet for that?
.com. They will. We'll talk to him about it. We'll talk to our boys.
Put Greg and James on the phone.
Put Greg and James on the phone. No, don't forget to check out betteredge.com. Again, you can get a free $10 using code BUTES. They've got college football, hockey. Hockey is coming. You can start placing bets on that. And it's a great way to socially interact too. Listen to Bard on Beauty podcast there as well. That's Better Edge, BETTOR Edge. .com. Let's get into some more of those rookies that Fred had just alluded to. So everyone knew Matt Boldy coming in. Everyone knew Marco Rossi coming in and Callan Addison, who, sorry, more sour news, is also day to day with an injury sustained in Thursday's preseason game. Nonetheless, though, Adam Beckman, I want to talk about him. I want to talk about Brandon Duhame, who looks like he might be on the roster. Alexis, are you surprised that these guys came in? I mean, Duhame's been a staple at Iowa for quite some time, and Beckman, everybody's talked about coming up, but I think they weren't expecting them to rise this quickly.
Yeah, I think that everyone has been so focused on, you know, the holy three, Matt Boldy, Marco Rossi, Callan Addison.
Like, I like everyone's, that.
Everyone's
the Father,
attention.
Son, and the Holy Ghost, yeah.
But everyone's attention has been focused on them, right? Because Marco Rossi could be our Lord and Savior at center. Callan Addison is the young defenseman, you know, who could slot in, you know, and maybe fill the role of a guy like Carson Soucy or something like that. Matt Boldy, everyone's been excited about him for the last year. So those guys have stolen the attention away from all of the other young guys, at least, you know, as far as the majority of the talk goes about them. I mean, Duhame and Beckman have been talked about. Yes, like you said, Jesse, but everyone has been so focused on the other three. So no, I'm not surprised that they're getting a look because we knew these guys were good, right? We've mentioned them, you know, throughout, you know, conversations here over the last year or so. It's just, like I said, they haven't been at the top of everybody's list. Now, Beckman, I will say, give that man a raise, put him on the team. Adam Beckman getting his nose broke and then coming in and scoring the OT winner with a broken nose and just firing up all of XL Energy Center. Like, literally, he's giving me Marcus Foligno fan club creation vibes. Like, that's the kind of energy I got from that game. I'm like, this man is it. He is the one. So I am now riding the Adam Beckman train, put him on the team, give him a roster spot. He has won over my heart because that's the kind of energy that I love.
I mean, the Selly. Can we talk about the Selly? What a Selly in the overtime winner. Like Lex said, broken nose. He's got a little, you know, scar on his nose. Does the Gordy elbow because he nails the Gordy Howe hat trick, which is epic. And then even has like a little extra, come on, let's hear it type of thing going on. Love to see it. We support that wholeheartedly. And yeah, he's a young kid. I mean, I've just been really blown away with how good he is. I had talked to him the year that they drafted him at development camp, and he was very quiet. Kid ain't quiet no more. He's very funny. He's very coming to his own, and you love that confidence. So good for him. I unfortunately think he might end up starting it's a numbers game, right? I think you're going to see Victor Rask probably snag that 13th forward spot.
Put Billy G on the damn phone. I got some stuff to say. Put him on.
It's gonna happen. I'm sorry. You know,
I'll live with it.
Speaking of like questionable Billy G pickups, Jordy Ben bad. That's what I'm going to call this segment. Jordy Ben bad, because holy cow. Like I'm not impressed. I know he's not supposed to be like one of the top defensemen anyway, but really? Like, I didn't think it'd be that disappointing. I mean, the goals let in against St. Louis, his fault, the majority. I mean, people were made like, I'm not going to tiptoe around it. And, yeah, I say he is probably the most disappointing defenseman that I have seen. Alex Goligoski, who I was already on board with because he's Minnesota born. We love to see one of us. But God, he is fun to watch too. He's smooth. He's calm. He's got that veteran presence, and he's quick too. You know, I mean, he does everything right. Alexis, back on the blue line. Who are you liking? Who are you not liking? Matt Dumba, Mr. Hype Man, you know, we got him going too. So you love to see it.
Yeah. I tweeted, you know, the other day when Matt Dumba did that sauce pass from the end of the ice, I said, put it in the Louvre. That was like the sexiest pass I've ever seen. That, like, the absolute sauce on that. I was like, oh my God, I could watch this on loop for the rest of my life. Very excited about Matt Dumba again. He's always been one of my favorite guys to keep an eye on defensively because he kind of does it all, right? We always talk about him being a high risk, high reward kind of player. Mm-hmm. He can play that, you know, stay at home defenseman style game if need be. He'll also jump up in the play. He'll also defend his teammates and get the crowd fired up and get his teammates fired up. He's just a very versatile defenseman who does it all. And I love that about him. I'm also really excited about Goligoski, like you are, Jesse. I think that was probably one of the best additions the Wild made in the offseason here. As far as we know what he can do, we know that he's excited to be here.
We knew his name and we knew who he was on everybody else picked up. So yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that's always a good sign when you recognize the name coming onto your team when you desperately need some defense. So very excited about him. Jordy Ben has been disappointing. And I think the frustrating thing about preseason is I talked last week about how I don't put a ton of stock into preseason, but at the same time, I was thinking more about this. And I'm like, at the same time, you need everyone to be performing as good as they can be, because this is going to set you up for success from day one. If you know what you're dealing with in the preseason, you can get the lines right as soon as possible. You know who's capable of what, who isn't capable of what. And instead of trying to scramble and switch things up as the season gets going, you can try to get it right from the start. So if that's what Jordy Ben is going to give us, that's a little disappointing. If it's not what he's going to get us, I wish he would have figured it out sooner so that we can get things, you know, set up correctly from the get go. So yeah, that's going to not be a promising pickup if that's how he's going to play for the rest of the season. But again, it is just preseason. So maybe he's just being lazy. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know either. I guess that spot that we thought Callan Addison was never going to get is now still looking okay, right? Yeah. Or not completely closed there, because I also wanted to say Jordy Ben bad because I thought that was so
it is good
when I wrote it.
It's good.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm very proud of that. And finally, with the Minnesota Wild and preseason, wrapping up preseason talk, we will have this week preseason picks. So Alexis and I will take try our hand at some preseason awards and then compare at the end of the year and see how beautifully perfect we were. So that's going to be awesome. But Joel Eriksson-Ek, number one center. Not that I questioned it, right? Like, you knew he deserved that opportunity, but playing between players like Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello is naturally going to intimidate pretty much anyone that goes there, right? I mean, it's a tough thing to have to do. You know, you're going to have to keep up with those guys. You know how badly they want to perform. You know how badly you want to help. But Joel Eriksson-Ek, bravo, sir, has done absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he is the missing piece to that because he has his position right down in front of the net. He gets in guys' heads. He's got the big, strong presence. And then Kaprizov and Zuccarello can fancy around and do what they do. And I love it, Alexis. I think it is so perfect. Would you agree?
I think it has the potential to be perfect. It makes me a little nervous right off the bat. What does the saying go? Choose company, three's a crowd.
That's right. Don't let people forget that she thinks Victor Rask is the number one setter.
I didn't say that.
Someone literally threatened to unsubscribe because of your take on YouTube.
They're not wrong either. I support that. I support them.
No, I did too. I was like, fair. Like I said, they say two's company, three's a crowd. And the thing that worries me a little bit is that Matt Zuccarello and Kirill Kaprizov had such good chemistry last season that it makes me a little worried that the third person on that line will maybe struggle at first to find a way to fit into that chemistry that they've already built, knowing that Julie Eriksson-Ek was not the one getting most of that top line minutes last season. Julie Eriksson-Ek is a very different player from Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello, but I think that's a good thing. Like you said, Jesse, the way that they could complement each other here and all three of the different kind of skills that those players possess and the different ways that they play hockey, I think could make for a really, really good top line. And we know Julie Eriksson-Ek is not afraid to defend himself, to get under people's skin. He has turned into that kind of player who just irritates his opponent to no end. And I think having a guy like that on your top line with a guy like Kirill Kaprizov, who is going to be the target of every single team that the Wild play this season, is going to benefit them as well. So I really like the possibilities of it. My only concern is how quickly they mesh together, which hopefully isn't going to be too long.
Well, you're wrong. So we'll just move on from
I tend to be wrong from time to time.
I think he has filled in so great. I mean, I'll
you've seen
on
it
that,
better
right?
than I have. So people
this is
should
true.
Trust
I
you.
Have actually watched it. Like, yeah. I think like Dean Evson has always been very complimentary. He's complimentary of every single one of his players for sure. But I mean, I think we finally asked him today at camp and said, you know, he looks good. You've been complimentary. Do you mm-hmm. really feel that? And he's like, we're all kind of surprised, you know, because you did. You expected him to just take kind of a step back. And I quote Dean Evson said, you can't get shit out of the guy's mouth anyway. So he looks at me and just smiles half the time. And I don't know what he's thinking. But I mean, they're loving it. I think it works really well in their system. I mean, the system that Dean and co have created is a very offensively fluid. I mean, we talked earlier about defense jumping into the play, and they're doing that constantly. And I love to see that, right? I mean, it's not a slow paced Minnesota Wild team anymore. And I think that's just going to get better and better as these younger guys get better. But back to Julie Eriksson-Ek, I mean, I think he just fits. It fits better than I would have envisioned. You had asked me this 2 weeks ago, I would have been on your side, Alexis. So I would have been like, I'm not 100% sure. And now having, seen it maybe a little bit closer, it passes the eye test for me for sure. But it's also passing on the score sheet too. So I love that. I love everything about it. Not to mention, who else are you going to put there right now?
Right, that's Marco what Rossi, I mean. Like, what do we
don't think
lose?
Is ready enough. Right? That let's give him time to develop. Nothing wrong with that. I need to remind you, nothing wrong. But yeah, I mean, I like it right now. I really like it. I'm excited to see what they can do against some top tier players. Because again, that line's really only played against AHL guys in these preseason games. So we'll see what happens in Chicago tomorrow night as they're grouped together. But I love it. Before we go, I do want to address Mr. Carey Price. I'd like to say we obviously are thinking of him and his family as he has entered kind of a mental health situation, taking a step back from the Montreal Canadiens. Never easy, but just a reminder to always talk. It's an okay conversation to talk about. And a reminder that hockey players are freaking human, you know, and especially goalies. I know we give them a lot of gruff about being crazy, but could you imagine a job where people boo you constantly? It's always, you're literally carrying a game on your back half the time. Yeah. So, you know, all the best to Carey Price, because I love me some Carey Price. Mm-hmm. I'm a big old fan. He obviously crushed it for the Habs last year. And so with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Scott Harmon of Dynamites. Stay tuned.
It might be the off season, but that doesn't mean you can't still shop Bardon Beauty's apparel. Get yourself a tank to add to your summer wardrobe or a Bardon Beauty sticker to slap on your water bottle to stay hydrated in the summer heat. Whatever you want, we've got it all at our Bardon Beauty's Teespring store.
Continuing our diversifying hockey conversation, this week we bring in Dynamite's executive director, Scott Harmon, to talk a little bit about the big fall fundraiser, which I know I've been to. I absolutely love. And to tell us a little bit more about Dynamite. Scott, what's going on? How are you? I know you said you were a big fan of podcasts. This is your first podcast. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I've been dreaming about this moment for a long time.
I'm glad we can be a part of that and fulfill some dreams. We are making an impact then
a
little
bit. I'm finally on a podcast. There is a lot going on. And, you know, just personally, I'm like anybody navigating the times we're in, I'm a parent myself, at Dynamites, there's always new details. And I will say that the pandemic provided some new challenges for us. But part of what we're celebrating right now and what we're going to be talking about at the upcoming fundraiser is our resilience and the way that tough times can bring out the best in people. At our fundraiser, Nagach is one of the MCs. She's been on the show.
Yeah.
She's probably been on the show twice.
I think she was. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
She's been on the podcast. She's been on podcasts at least two more times than me. And then her co-host will be Oliver, who's a sophomore. I should say Nagach is a senior now. And they are awesome. They're fantastic. And they're going to talk about that. They're going to talk about how Dynamites has taught them to be the best when things are tough and how, we're trying to make this the best year ever at Dynamites.
You know, tell people a little bit about what Dynamites actually is. I know Nagach kind of gave us an overview. And as you had mentioned, she was a guest about a year ago and she's doing tremendous things in her life, courtesy of Dynamites that really started that and levered her to success. But let people know who aren't familiar what Dynamites does for kids and teens and adults in inner city communities in Minnesota.
Yes. Well, our mission is developing physical, academic, social, and spiritual excellence in our urban youth. And we serve young people in the Phillips, Powderhorn, and Central neighborhoods of Minneapolis. We've been serving in Minneapolis since 1995, and just recently in 2018, we expanded and also began serving neighborhoods in the west side of St. Paul and the West 7th Corridor. We do whole life youth development. There are programs in each of our four mission areas. So the most notable programs are ice hockey and tutoring and other academic support. Mentoring, relationship building is all throughout the whole program. We're serving a part of town and a group of young people that I think you would traditionally assume would be left out of the sport of hockey. As hockey trends towards more expensive, higher cost, like so many youth sports, hockey trends towards sort of elite early development in the sport. And so the entries, the invitations can kind of leave new families to the sport behind. So that is a huge part of who we are. The Dynamites is a member of the NHL Hockey is for Everyone initiative. We're one of just 26 programs with that designation in the world. And so we're serving a very diverse group. 91% of our youth are non-white participants. It happens to be that in our situation, we're also serving very low income neighborhoods. It's been really important for me, and I'm going to point it out now, it's been really important for me to point out that diversity and low income do not necessarily go hand in hand.
Right.
And I think it's important people to remember that. And I'll circle back. It'll make more sense why I'm saying that in a few minutes, but that happens to be our scenario here. Phillips, Powderhorn, and Central neighborhoods are low-income neighborhoods. And so we are really like, we're like mad scientists for figuring out how you can create participation and positive youth development in situations where that's not typically existing. So as you guys know, and probably have talked about on the podcast, you see, especially right now in first ring suburbs of the metro area, hockey is in really steep decline. And in some places, even dying, and some people might even say dead some places. And that is really, I think, the surface level answer to why that is that the socioeconomics are changing in those places. Those places are becoming more diverse. So you have more families that don't already know about hockey or already feel welcome to hockey. And they are lower income. And I'll say not necessarily like poverty or very low income, but right, lower than before, where some of the largest associations are very wealthy or trend towards very wealthy. And they're spending a lot of money, not just in the association, but outside the association too. And so we're kind of here in that complete opposite situation. And yet we're able to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of my favorite things about Dynomites, which you mentioned it, and we've talked about this before as well. Jesse is very enthusiastic about this as someone who works closely and supports you guys so much, is that it's more than just hockey, right? There's an emphasis right. on getting these kids the opportunity to learn, to have equipment, to participate in hockey. But that's not the only goal. And I would even argue that's maybe not even the main goal of what you guys try to do. What are some of the positive things that you've seen, happen to these kids who get involved in this that's more than just them getting a chance to play hockey?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the high school graduation rate is the statistic that we talk about right up front all the time. We were founded by a guy by the name of John Foley, and he was the high school youth pastor at Park Avenue Church from like 1991 to 1993. And he thought like some good stuff happened, but there was still too many like stereotypical ills. And especially he talked to me in those early days about dropping out of school and about teen crime. Those mm-hmm. were two things that he saw. And he said, there's got to be something that walks alongside young people all the way from early elementary through high school graduation. So high school graduation from the beginning has always been something that we hoped we could kind of point to as a long-term result of our program. And so since 1995, our high school graduation rate is 86%. Which would be about 30 points higher than Minneapolis Public Schools over that same time. We're really pleased to see the rates for Minneapolis Public Schools going up in the last 5 to 10 years. We're happy to see that. But even just compared to overall state of Minnesota today, the graduation rate for the whole state of Minnesota is only 83%. So you kind of look at that, think about, all the youth that were growing up in the year 2000, half of them didn't graduate high school. But it's crazy to think about that. And so that is probably one of the biggest long-term results that point to the success of what we do. We do provide tutoring and academic support. So today we have tutoring for elementary, middle, and high school. At the elementary age, we focus mainly on reading skills. There's a lot of research out there about the correlation between reading on grade level by the end of third grade and graduating high school later on. We learn to read from like kindergarten to third grade, and then we read to learn from fourth grade on. And so really just about anything that you need to be good at is going to be based in your ability to read. If you're in sixth grade, and you might have a good math mind, but if you're behind in reading, you might not understand the story problems that you need to solve. And then in middle school, we will kind of make a shift to like study skills. So even if you've got your reading skills on track, kind of that next phase is now you have to understand that in order to be successful in school, you have to be organized. You have to turn your homework in, which is a really big deal. And then in high school, we're really kind of about goal setting and creating an environment of achievement, kind of a culture of achievement. And so we actually launched an initiative this year called Overtime. And we're working with our kids to really understand what their choices are for after high school. Our goal is that every ninth through 12th grader is going to have on file their post high school plan, and they can change it along the way. But that is a major goal of ours this year. So they're all thinking about what are they going to do next? There are tons of choices and there's not necessarily one better than the other, but when you haven't thought about it, sometimes mm-hmm. the choices get made for you. So that's a big push for us.
Yeah. And another thing that I think gets probably not as mentioned or overlooked is the way that you guys help in transportation as well, right? Because those are things that so many of us take for granted, right? Piling into the car with your hockey bag and going this. Not only do you provide the equipment at the rink, but then you guys also provide a ride for to help mom and dad and give kids an outlet, you know, to be after school when mom and dad might be working a shift or, you know, extra things like that. Yeah. Like, I think that's a truly remarkable thing. Like, you guys have really thought of everything to make this an accessible option for people. And I think that's just so absolutely wonderful.
We have thought of everything, right? So
yeah.
It happens to be, at least in the Minneapolis neighborhoods we serve, I think it's a little different in St. Paul, and we're still learning over there, but in the mm-hmm. Minneapolis neighborhoods we serve, about 33% of the households do not own a car. Right. So, and then another piece of the puzzle is that if you are a low wage worker, you're much more likely to be working at a time when high wage workers aren't working. And so that's nights and weekends. Mm-hmm. I would say the two biggest questions we get when we go to register new kids are, how will my child get there and how much will it cost? And so we do provide rides. We're actually in experiment phase on that, even on that right now, because of the pandemic. We had to have new criteria, or not new guidelines about our vans and riding in the vans. And so we're actually innovating on that now too, and just seeing, like, you know, how could we involve more parents? Which parents, we're trying to get more granular on which parents can do a little more and be a little more involved. Can we make better use of the Sports Engine app and so forth?
Right. Well, you know, obviously hockey equipment costs money and mm-hmm. ice costs money. So that brings us to the fundraiser that you guys are putting together. That'll be coming up this week on Thursday, October 14th, when this is released. So tell us a little bit more about that. What, you know, you had mentioned early on that Nagach, a former guest of ours, will be speaking it. I think that's what's really cool about this event, is that the kids take hold and run the whole show. It's not adults talking about these experiences of the kids. It's the kids themselves. But tell us a little bit more about what people can expect at this event.
Yeah. So on October 14, we are having a hybrid event. So in person, we'll be having guests at the St. Paul Event Center, which is in Treasure Island Center, the same building that is home to TRIA Rink, the Wilds Practice Facility. And we'll have youth up on the stage telling their own stories. We're really going to be highlighting the best dino year ever. That's the theme. So nice. We're kind of talking about three really big things there. We want to be letting people know that we've made a big commitment this year to youth work quality. We're going to be using a tool called the Youth Program Quality Assessment to analyze all our programs and just to get really real with ourselves about, are we actually doing a good job? You know, when the kids are here, are we doing the little things that lead to quality and lead to the development of our youth? We're going to be talking also about our partnerships with the National Hockey League, Minnesota Wild, and local associations. So you probably know that George Floyd was killed in the Powderhorn neighborhood. That is one of the neighborhoods that we served. And so that was a very intimate moment for our families. One of the reflections that we've had is that we have the opportunity not only to be serving a diverse group of young people inside our organization, but we're looking at how can we expand our influence out to other metro area associations. We already have one big partner. I'm going to just say who they are. It's Maple Grove. They are all in, and they want to support us in a really big way. But the real trick and the real key to why this is awesome is that they want to learn from us. They're not just saying, we're going to give you, you're the charity, but they're in actual partnership to say, how can we serve our community better? Because we might be a really big association, but we know there's kids in our community that we're not reaching. If our diversity is at this level, but the diversity of the community is at this level, we'd like the diversity of our association to eventually match that. And I just got to say hats off to them. So that's a big thing that we're going to talk about. And the third thing is that we're talking about the Billy Lindsay Rink. So the Winter Classic is coming. And we have our own outdoor rink. We call it the Billy Lindsay Rink. And we are just waiting on a few logistical details to come through. So we're kind of at the finish line. It's been a long road. Jesse's probably been hearing about this for years.
I was going to say, you've mentioned it, but I'm excited for it to finally like come to full fruition.
I know we're at the finish line to add refrigeration to that rink.
Awesome.
And so we're just days away from making an official invitation, but we're hoping to have our own outdoor party right around New Year's, and we're going to skate outside and have our own little mini winter classic of our own. And hopefully we can invite some of our hockeys for everyone, friends from around the nation. And even maybe some Canadian friends will come down too. Nice. So that's what we're going to be talking about. You can find links to our fundraiser just right on our homepage, dynomites.com, dynomights.com. We have an auction. You don't need to come in person to bid. We're also going to be live webcasting this. And so you'll be able to find the links there. We have some virtual teams. Not everybody's coming in person. Can I say this? There's a Bardon Beauties team.
Mm-hmm. Of course. We've been trying to push it out. We got it. We have a social schedule. We're going.
Bardon Beauties is raising money for Dynamite. So maybe they'll put a link to their own personal page.
We're 20% there, Scott. I don't know if you checked. We're coming for that leaderboard.
I know. You guys are... are after it. You might be a virtual team. So I will say that you do have some competition.
That's a good thing though.
Yes.
There's going to be some that come in real strong here in the next couple days. But so we need your support. Look us up. We can serve more kids when we have more resources. We actually have grown rapidly in the last decade and a half. About 15 years ago, we were serving about 140, 150 total students per year. Up to the pandemic, in 18, 19, we served 525 kids. And that includes our year-round players who, are on, you know, squirts and PBs and U12s and, also our high schoolers. And we also typically do a project called Greg Carroll Learn to Skate, where we teach all the first graders at 6 elementary schools how to ice skate. We unfortunately have had to put that on hiatus during the pandemic, but we have high hopes that that'll be back this year. So when you support us, we're able to serve more kids and we're able to provide more quality as well. And that's where we're kind of hoping with adding refrigeration to the outdoor rink and just taking the time to, you know, do a legitimate assessment of our programming with the youth program quality assessment. We just continually improve. And then we hope that associations will come to us and say, you know, here's what we really need to know. We need help coming up with ideas for reaching out to the families that have never thought about being in hockey, that have never felt welcomed in hockey. So we welcome all of you. I know there's a lot of association people out there. We welcome you to approach us and to build a customized partnership with us where you can give some support to us on the quality, on helping us serve more kids, but we can also give support to you on how can you serve a more diverse group of kids in your own community.
I absolutely love it, Scott. I do. I think it's tremendous. You mentioned that's how I got to know you, right? Is going out and volunteering, which is just such a small thing, but I'm broke as a journalist, so it's harder for me. So anything I can do to give back, because I think what you're doing is tremendous. Do you feel that, you know, you had mentioned George Floyd and obviously that affected everybody and it particularly affected the families that you've gotten to know and the families that you've been a part of for so long. But do you feel like, you know, that was kind of a turning point in general, especially in hockey? You saw the Hockey Diversity Alliance come out of that and you've seen people start to realize and look at themselves and say, hey, we're not helping this change at all, right? Do you see that there has been kind of a real shift? And you had mentioned like your Maple Groves and these other associations that are looking at themselves where you look from the outside and say, hey, they probably don't have a whole lot of diversity maybe, but they still want to make sure that it's for everyone. Have you sensed that a little bit, that that's definitely more of a thing?
It's a really good question. I mean, I think that if you're in the hockey world and you're trying to figure out how do I respond to this major event that really happened right near where I live, Dynamites is an obvious place to look. Mm-hmm. I also think that people don't just obviously know the answers of like, oh, you know what? We've just been doing this wrong. And if we just stop doing that, like everything will go back or it'll go the way it's supposed to go. And that's just, it's just so much more complicated than that, because we really do have these sort of systems and rooted ways that we do things that we don't realize, how those traditions and systems and so forth, like, work for some people, but not other people. They work great for some people and not other people. So, you know, as far as, have we got the change yet? I don't think so, but I do see more people kind of saying, like, what can I do? For sure. And I'll even just say, even the National Hockey League and the Minnesota Wild, they're saying that very thing. Like, what can we do? How can we go deeper? As far as the league goes, like, we've been part of Hockey is for Everyone since it was called Diversity Task Force in like 1996.
Right.
And sent kids to Willie O'Ree All-Star games and all that great stuff. But, you know, for all of our programs, all of the NHL hockey for program, Hockey is for Everyone programs, I think would say the same thing. Like, we do this stuff inside our sphere, inside our world and our circle. And like, inside that, we're mostly just working to just take care of our own business and to do our own job. And so that's where I'm really excited to see people coming to the table, I think for the first time, saying, not just how can we help you, but how can we learn? Because The fact is, like, Dynamites is not going to go set up shop in Maple Grove or Edina or, right?
Right.
And that doesn't make sense. So then what is our place in the whole state of hockey, in the whole hockey world? Like, I think that's been my big light bulb, because I had to have a light bulb too. Like, I had to reflect, and I was like, well, we've been here 26 seasons, about to have our 27th season. Like, has anything really changed outside of our, you know, us being here? You know, like, hockey is in decline in the first ring suburbs, in places where, you know, you have like historic players and teams. And there's an article on the Hockey Hub that's about Richfield from about 5 years ago. And it's literally titled Where Hockey Died. Right. So has anything changed? Right. So I think that's where I'm kind of excited, where like, I'm now in some conversations that I've never been in before. And I think we at Dynamites are starting to kind of figure out like how we can actually continue to do our good work inside that sphere, but to be better about sharing the information and the data that comes out of that, so that somebody could actually use it. So, I mean, we're even thinking about, what questions can we ask on our year-end survey for players, coaches, and parents that might be useful for another association? You know, what is it? Is there a question out there that they might want to know the answer to that might help them grow in diversity in their own area?
Right. Well, again, I think all the work that you're doing, Scott, is absolutely tremendous. I believe a couple of us Buttes might be out at the event on October 14th, joining our friends at sodastick.com, who I know will also be involved. We're happy that we were able to make that connection. And again, we're proud to have a team. Any support that you guys want to toss our way under the bar down Beauty's name, because we also want to win and be at the top of that leaderboard, because that's what we do. It all goes for a really tremendous cause, and certainly follow our social media channels. We'll be touting out stuff about Dynamites all season long. Scott, we'll have you back on so you can make a second podcast, you know, thing. You did great. Bravo, sir. But yeah, so we'll be sure to send people your way. Again, check out Dynamites. It's a really phenomenal program. I've seen them even at TRIA after some practices, and it's really great to see the smiles on these kids' faces. It's absolutely just very heartwarming and very impactful. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is producer Fred. I just want to make sure everybody was up to date on every single thing that's going on with Bar Down Beauties for season 3. We've got shirts coming out. We've got some sweepstakes. We've got some announcements. Like, follow, share. You'll be right on top of all the news.
We back. Thanks again to Scott Harmon and all that he does with Dynamites and everybody that's involved with Dynamites. Again, I know I'm biased because I have been able to volunteer, hop on the ice with those kids, but it's so freaking fun. As we had mentioned even last week, like, I want to do something impactful, man. And that's a very small, small thing that we can do. And it's a really cool, cool organization that you can support here in the Twin Cities and introducing folks to hockey. So thank you to Scott. We loved it. Alexis, you're going to be out on the ice with me this spring, probably.
Yeah, 100%. And we're going to be doing lessons for Jesse. And we need to perfect your skating. I was going to say by the time we get there, but we got plenty of time to work on it. So it's okay. We got a whole winter ahead of us.
I want to be able to stop like you and do like the ice shaving.
I'm not even that good. I can stop, but like if I tried too hard, I would probably just do a somersault. So I could probably use a little bit of work too.
Fair. Yeah, exactly. That's our goal for this year. If anybody else would like to do lessons with us, let us know. Yep. We can accommodate. So segment three, you know, we love it, up for debate because we love to stir the pot. Alexis lives for the chaos. Mm-hmm. Fred likes to sit here and question why he's doing this each week. And here we go. Alexis, you tackled what area is of most concern for the Minnesota Wild, whether that's offense, defense, or goaltending. Why don't you kick it off? What area are you most worried about heading into opening night on Friday?
For me, it is a tie, and I feel even weird saying this, a tie between defense and goaltending. Defense only because that saw the most turnover this offseason, so it's an obvious one to look at and be like, oh yeah, I'm concerned about this because we're missing some big pieces and have a lot of new pieces in place. So it's, even if you were to get like it loaded up with superstars, like still it's like, okay, there's a lot of turnover there. So you never know how it's going to play out. So I am concerned about that. But at the same time, I know there's a lot of good guys on that blue line that have been here, done that. And I'm confident we'll lead the way for some of the new guys and some of the new guys who are veterans who've also been here before, even though it's their first time with Minnesota. So that would probably be my biggest area of concern. Goaltending is a very close second for me. Not Cam Talbot. It's Kakanen. And I'm a little bit worried about only because he was very polarizing with his play last year. He had that streak where he was very impressive. I think he had 9 or 10 wins in a row, which was a rookie record. And you know, he stepped up when the Wild needed him to. And then at the end of the season, he fell off the wagon a little bit, was not looking good. You know, had some really, really tough games, and then the season ended and you're like, okay, so is he ready or is he not ready? Like, where are we sitting with him? Because he had a stretch of good and a stretch of bad. And it is hard to really judge backup net minders because they obviously don't get as much playing time as anybody else on the team. So that's where I have a little bit of concern where I'm like, okay, if we get the version of Kakanen we got early on in the season, I think our tandem is set. I'm comfortable with what we have. And I would trust Kakanen to come in and fill that role when Talbot either can't play or they need to switch him out, get him some rest. So goaltending is a very close second concern to me for the first time. And I think forever, I'm very confident the Wild will be good offensively again. I think they're going to be, you know, you talked about their speed early on, Jesse, and how they're only getting faster. I think they're finding a better fit for the lines here. And so I'm really excited about what the offense is going to do. So yeah, for me, defense is the biggest area of concern just because there's so many unknowns with the defense heading into the season.
You know, I don't disagree, but for the sake of arguing and debating, right? That's what we should do. I would actually maybe nudge goaltending up first. And I kind of hate to do that because I do think that the tandem of Cam Talbot and Kaapo Kakkonen is one of the stronger tandems mm-hmm. the Minnesota Wild have had in quite some time. But as you had mentioned, Kakkonen had a stellar start of a rookie year, and yep. he certainly stepped up, and I don't want to put all of this on him, but what is the Kakkonen that you're going to get? And what is the Cam Talbot that you're going to get? Cause was last season kind of more of a one-off? I don't have the full confidence in that maybe. Oh, right. Like,
I'm getting mad. Don't say that. No, we finally think we get the goalie thing figured out. And then they both just come in and they're like, psych, we suck.
You can never have the goalie thing figured out. Right. It's just so, but yeah, I mean, so I'll nudge that up to number one defense. Yeah. Being number two, a very close second for me. But it's been more promising than I've thought, seeing them in preseason, seeing the pairings. I think Kulikov is much better than I thought he was going to be. So I really enjoy watching that. Goligoski about par, but I love the way that he pairs with Jared Spurgeon. I think that's a very top. And then you know what you're going to get out of Broads and Dumba.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that still remains kind of the biggest question mark. We talked about Jordy Ben Bad. I still love it. It's so clever. But I
love when Jesse comes up with something good and she's so proud of herself and she just keeps mentioning
it. And everyone else is like, nah, that's fine.
I mostly love, my husband. We love self-confidence. We are here to support you. It was a great bit.
I know. But yeah. And then offense, I think, yes, people could argue that, okay, up the middle, what are we doing there? Is it really, you know, cause you have one top line, should you be spreading that wealth out, right? Like, should you be doing more to have the offense? But I like the direction it's going, and I like what I've seen so far. It is a quicker team. It's a team that has a bunch of players that are not afraid to shoot, which I freaking love. Like, 5 years of covering a very defensive Minnesota Wild squad and 2-1 games, I can't do it anymore. I cannot do 41 games of that anymore. So I'm happy to see that you finally have some shooters. You have people that are capable of shooting. Not only are they not afraid to shoot, they can do it. They can finish up and down by the net too. So that would be my third. Fred, what do you think?
I think they just need to keep the offensive juggernaut going, because it always seems like there's like the stops and starts throughout the season. It's like they're really, really hot, and then all of a sudden just gets shut down. And obviously good goaltending can do that, but if they can have consistent offense with Cam Talbot back there being consistent in the crease, I think that's a winning combo.
That was good, Fred. Proud of you.
Did you practice that, Fred? That was really nice.
No, I'm good at crease.
Yeah, I'm just... So proud. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Again, shout out to Scott Harmon and Dynamite's program. Be sure to follow us on social media to check out how you can donate and be a part of the Buttes team in your donation as we work to raise money to help expose hockey to the inner cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. As always, shout out to Talk North, featuring us on their lovely network. A big love and support to Soda Stick, presenting sponsors. Marcus Foligno shirts are coming. We promise you. Marcus himself signed off on it. He loved them. He thought they were great. So you'll be able to get those very, very soon as the season begins to start up here. Also, Better Edge, BETTREdge.com. Don't forget, you can get free $10 with code Buttes and go place your bets. Listen to this pod right there in that app. Forgot to mention Soda Stick, 15% off on all purchases with code BARDOWNBEAUTIES, BARDOWN. BEAUTIES.
Nailed it.
that's sodastick.com on all purchases. Very cool of them to do that. Cheers to Jim Beam. Put a little ice, put a little whiskey in your cup. Enjoy that while you're watching the Wild probably win at least the first couple games here of the season. So that's always good. And shout out to all you lovely folks. We seriously love the engagement, love the interaction that keeps ramping up. We're super close to 3,000. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, we will have 3,000 followers on Twitter, which also did not verify me again this week. So that's
damn Twitter.
You know, they will rue the day.
We're coming for you, Twitter.
That's there.
Yeah. And so thank you guys again. Keep that love going. If you can give us a rating, if you can share, if you can subscribe, we really, really appreciate that. But ultimately, we just appreciate y'all for checking in, listening every single week. We got lots more coming up. So stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.